Actually, what did the Mishnah say initially? What did the Mishnah say about the location of Tanufa and Hagasha? Right, what does the Mishnah say? What does it mean when we say Tanufa was done in the east and Hagasha was done in the west?
Which side of the
Mizrah? Well, sort of, okay? When we say east by Tanufa, we mean the eastern part, right? Now, you got to remember your directions here, okay? Right, because I want to make sure everyone understands the format of the Beis HaMikdash clearly, okay? Okay, intuitively, this looks like east and west, but if you think about it, remember, the Kodesh Kodashim was here, right? Where's the board? Or whatever. Right? The Heichal was here, right? The Heichal was here, right? What direction is this? What's the direction towards the Kodesh Kodashim? Or Kodesh Kodashim?
West.
West. West. West. Tanufa didn't have to be done next to the Mizbeach. How do we know that for sure? Because where was Tanufa done by the Baal? Not in the Heichal. Right. So it would be the eastern part, okay? So the Mishnah says Tanufa was done on the eastern side, right? And Hagasha was done on the western side. Now, Hagasha has to be on the western side because ultimately, where's Hagasha going to take place? On the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, right? So that's going to be on the western part of the Heichal. But the main point to think of here is that the Mishnah saying Tanufa's done eastern, right? Hagasha's done western. Now the Gemara comes along, Darius, and tells us what? Lifnei Hashem. Okay, so when we say we do things before God, Tanufa was done before God. Before God refers to which area? East. Or we'll call it east. Okay, east. Now, the eastern part of the Azara. But the Gemara says, Vaha Amris. Okay, which means what?
That maybe you could do it on the west as well.
Well, what's that referring to? When they take up the case of Hagasha, how do we know Hagasha is done on the western part of the Mizbeach? Because it says Lifnei Hashem. But 1 second, how could Lifnei Hashem teach you both east and west? That's an impossibility. Again, the same two words, Lifnei and God, can't teach you both that something's done on the eastern side and something else is done on the western side. Lifnei Hashem has to pick one. You have to pick one of the two sides. So what does the Gemara say? Well, does everyone understand that? By the way, is that clear? Right? Is that clear? In other words, the words Lifnei Hashem, Shana Aleph, Lifnei Hashem can't teach you both east and west. That's impossible. It's either one or the other. Okay. So now, what's the answer? So Amri. Okay, so what does that mean? So without getting into the particulars of what happens by Korban Chatas, we know one thing. So if you looked at the Mizbeach had around it what?
A
Yisod, a base, okay? Now, what was that base used for? Well, one thing, what? Okay, well, to put it in modern day terms, it's kind of like a drainage system. But anyway, there was a little holes in there. But basically, it was there to drain, meaning it would pour blood, right, on the Yisod. Okay? Now, by Korban Chatas, right? A Korban Chatas, what has to happen by Korban Chatas? You're going to pour blood where? On the Yisod. Okay? Now, what does it say by the Korban Chatas? Right? It says you pour it onto the Yisod. For you to quote the Pasuk, it says, Ve'etz kol hadam yishpoch el Yisod. Okay? Okay. That's what the Pasuk tells us. Just that one. So, no, actually. And the, 1 second. And the, 1 second. The current, the southeastern corner did not have that outer Yisod area. Only where?
The west.
So you'd have to deduce what? Right. So you'd have to deduce what then? What's the Gemara telling you?
It's about base
on balance. No. Don't forget that. That's a different issue. No, it's not like. None of this is. It's not that. What does Lifnei Hashem then teach us? Okay. Again, how do you know Hagasha? How do you know Hagasha must be done in the west? Because. Right, it's the only place where you could be able to do... Exactly. The only place you could do it, right? Ah, so, avahacha, but by tnufa, lifnei Hashem karina bay, which means what? Which means what? Means east. Now, which
means... Okay, no,
but okay, but look at what... I'll say a second. What does Rashi say? Wait, before you get it, what does Rashi say? Rashi says, afilu, meaning what? Meaning that, really, lifnei Hashem means where? But the Chiddush by Tanufa is not only west, but you could also do it east.
But there's no reason to say that.
Hold on. Yeah, But the Havamina, the assumption of the Gemara is what? Is that Lifnei Hashem means west. The Maskana is that no, you know what it means? It means it could be done both east and west. Who cares? It's tempting to go down Kali's road to be like, it's telling you east-west, because what east-west really teaches you is that it doesn't matter. But of course you're wrong. Why are you wrong? You have to be wrong. Because what does matter? That it's not where?
North
or south. So you do see there's something about east-west that, for whatever reason why, which we don't know yet, telling you it has to be in this area, or excuse me, this area, but not here.
Is it possible
why?
East or west?
I don't know. And yet the Rambam comes along and says no. The Rambam, as you all saw in Parak Tes and Hilchos Maisa Korbanos, Halacha Tes, Halacha Vav, what does he say? Do you have Rambam open? What does he say? Come on, get to the point I want you to get to. B'mizrach, okay? That's all I want to get at, B'mizrach. The Rambam's telling you, there is no Rashi saying, for whatever reason why, it's west or east, like even in the east. And the Rambam says, no, but Dafka, Tzufa's done in the east. What kind of machlokas is this? Darius said the words over and over again. There's one point we do know. It says, Lifnei Hashem. That's the one thing we know. Lifnei Hashem. What do those words mean, Lifnei Hashem? Not Canaric philosophy, more Nevuchim sanctification. I'll show you. How about this? I'll give Canaric. I'll give you a little bit, meaning that I'll get away this whole business of how people feel, but take one little tiny bit of what you're saying and say how it could be applicable. Meaning like this. Not giving this far over. Meaning that what you could be right is that if I asked you what the default of Lifnei Hashem should be, what would it be?
West.
For sure. Right. Well, no. That's true. But Lifnei Hashem should always by default be west. Why? Because, right, exactly, that's closer to where important things are happening.
No, you can say the opposite. You can say,
I'd say where you do the Avoda, Lifnei Hashem means Avoda should be done in that area. West. That's where the important things take place. Okay? So... But what's the problem? You know what the problem with the Rambam is? The problem with the Rambam is, how can the Rambam say Lifnei Hashem means east for Tanufa and Lifnei Hashem means west for Hagasha? It's very odd. What would you do with the Gemara? No, I'll tell you why. It's very easy. Because the question like this, okay, what premise do they both agree with? Lifnei Hashem, okay, I shouldn't say that. Rambam's going to say, when it says Lifnei Hashem, right, there's two ways you can learn Lifnei Hashem, okay? Now, you could say Lifnei Hashem is either telling you a place, okay? Meaning it's telling you where is something supposed to be done? There, okay? So the Rambam learns Lifnei Hashem can mean Mizrach by Tanufa because it's telling you the location. Where's the location that, what do you call it, that Tanufa takes place? Eastern area. That's a place. No, hold on. No, that's Rashi. Okay, I'll get to Rashi. Rashi's saying
just
that.
Said that we agree.
No. Just listen. Let me finish. I'll show you. Let me make my second point. You'll see. But when it comes to Hagasha, what does Lifnei Hashem teach you there? That's not teaching you a location. What's it teaching you?
A spot.
A point. It's saying, on the Mizbeach, this is where it goes. It happens to be, where is that located?
The west.
Exactly. Location is the byproduct of the point. You see, there's two logical ways you can look at Lifnei Hashem. You can say Lifnei Hashem is showing you a place, meaning, where is it located? Here. That's like this general area. Or by Hagasha, though, it's different. Hagasha is telling you, Lifnei Hashem at a spot, right? What point does Hagasha take place? This point. That point, that spot, is not a location. I know it is sort of like a location, but it's not a location. The spot is located in the western area. But that's a byproduct of it being a spot.
The location on the world or location on the Mizbeach is easier to say.
Right. Yeah, okay, fine. Yeah. The Rambam's saying it's either east for Tanufa, but he also holds west for Hagasha. And he sees the world of Lifnei Hashem. So maybe what the Rambam holds is that Lifnei Hashem can actually have two completely separate meanings. only if you say that lifnei in one instance means location, right? But hagasha, there is no location to do hagasha. Hagasha is a point. Hagasha has to be done right here in the mizbeach, and here. Right, exactly. Because the maisa that's talking about is different. But tzufa, it's not that tzufa has to be done 24 feet from the mizbeach. It has to be done eastern area, right? You know what I mean? Like there-ish, right? So there-ish is a location. It's just telling you where of the four locations, that area, right? But Hagasha, since we know Hagasha is done on the corner of the Mizbeach.
Theoretically,
the Mizbeach. So the Ram, I'm saying, since Tufa and Hagasha are two separate things, so you can actually channel the Lifnei Hashem through each one. And if you do, right, there's a different idea that comes out through each one. But that's not what Rashi's saying, okay?
Putting it in your ideal place.
Okay, but he says Afilu. Okay. Okay. So okay. No, great. So let's just put that a little clearer. No, I think Rashi's more difficult. Rashi's saying because Rashi wants someone to lift the Hashem is going to teach you the same thing. It's interesting what the Ram does with the Gemara. That's not our problem. Anyway, so Rashi's going to say, no one asked that question. But anyway, Rashi's going to say no. Rashi's going to say lift the Hashem. That lift the Hashem. The default is what?
It's Mara.
Mara, right? So no, meaning like this. Meaning no. Okay. Yeah. In other words, no. The fact that the Torah tells you Lifnei Hashem is telling you what? Let's go to the order of the Gemara. The Torah says Lifnei Hashem. That's a chiddush because you would think the default location is always going to be where? So if it tells you Lifnei Hashem, what's that teaching you? East, right? Ah, but the problem is that we also see Lifnei Hashem means west. Now, the way Rashi's approaching it is Rashi's saying that the Torah says Lifnei Hashem. The Torah should have said nothing because normally speaking, where does the Voda take place? West. Now that it says Lifnei Hashem, what does that teach you? East. But the problem is, we also learn a chiddush that Lifnei Hashem teaches you west. Okay? So what does Rashi then learn?
That default is east.
Let me have that for a second.
There's a second one for Rashi if you want to fill it in.
Right, so Rashi's interesting. Rashi's very mathematical. Rashi's going to say, right, what does Rashi hold?
We're looking at the bottom and the top.
Rashi's going to say, it's not that Lifnei Hashem is teaching you. Okay, Rashi has a problem. Rashi says it's a contradiction, right? On the one hand, you want to tell me Lifnei Hashem is a chiddush to tell you that it's east. On the other hand, Lifnei Hashem does teach you west, right? So it can't teach you. So you have two choices. Either it teaches you neither, or it does what? But what does both mean? It means that.
Whatever the ideal place is.
Okay, but what is the ideal place? What?
It's an axis.
Okay, right. In other words, right. So Rashi says, Rashi takes the idea of discrete locations and says, there's no more discrete location. Rather, where do you do the tenufa?
Somewhere on the east-west line.
Access, right? Mm-hmm. Meaning it's an access idea. Meaning there's no location, it's like this here.
In other words,
it's an interesting machlokas because the Rambam says point versus location. The Rashi says location versus axis, meaning an axis is not a location. If you say I could do it in east and west, that means there's no specific location anymore. Okay? It means there's an axis now. It's like he's taken the idea of location and broadened it to include an axis. That's Rashi. Very mathematical. So guys, Bikurim. Oh no, bringing the Bikurim. So we know when you bring Bikurim to the Beit HaMikdash, right? When you bring Bikurim, right? So what do? You bring the Bikurim, you bring your fruits. Hey guys, go out and go Viter. When you bring Bikurim, what do you bring them in? A basket, okay.
A wicker basket,
very nice. Okay, now here's the problem. The problem is like this. The problem is that, I'm just going to help you guys out. The problem is that we know that there's a tenufa done by the Bikurim, meaning, as you'll soon see from the Gemara, the Kohen and the Baal do a tenufa. The problem is, the Torah never says what? Tenufa. It never says in Kisavo, right, in the Parsha about Bikurim, that the Baal and the Kohen do an act of tenufa. So watch this Gemara. It's fascinating. Not in Kisavo.
Sorry, it doesn't specify, but it says the action.
It's the Hidincho.
No, that's
Mikol Lithan
is not Shavuot.
Baha Bikurim.
Okay, what does he hold? My Rav Lezer and Yaakov. Keep reading. Okay, remember. So now the Kohen takes the basket from you, right? And then what does he do with it? V'hi nicho. And then he places it in front of the Mizbeach. This is getting a little complicated now, okay? He takes the basket and places it in front of the Mizbeach. What? You think so? Let's just go a little further. Let's see. Okay, so what does he say? Okay, so now somehow he learns out that, I mean, putting Asher's joke to the side, somehow the fact that there's an exchange, meaning the Baal has the basket of fruits and the Kohen takes the basket of fruit, some of that means Tanufa. That doesn't sound like Tanufa. Tanufa would sound, what would be better for the Torah to say?
Tanufa.
Tanufa, Vehinif. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not choose to write that. Okay, why not? So my timer. How did you know that? Mishlamim. Okay, slow. Okay, because it says the word Yad, right? Belakacha Kohen Atena Miyadecha. And then by the Korban Shlomim, now remember now, come on guys, Korban Shlomim, what's unique about the Korban Shlomim? Right, the Yisrael eats part of it too. And what else is done by Korban Shlomim? A tenufa, meaning we take the Emurim, the Chazayin Shok, and there's some type of waving ceremony done with the Baal and the Kohen. So, Ovatu. So the Gemara says, Gemara Yad Yad Mishlomim. Ksiv Hacha. So it says over here that the Kohen takes the basket from your hands, right? Uksiv Hasam. It's a funny play on words. Wait, what does Yadav Tiviena mean? It shall be brought by your hands. Your hands bringing it, right? Well, I know. Whatever. His hands. The point is, hands are bringing. Okay? It doesn't sound the same thing as like, I took something from Darius's hand versus saying, the hands are bringing. It almost like takes the hands and separates them out from the person.
If you think about it,
it's
the same action.
So Makan. Okay. So just by over there, that what? That the Tanufa, the Bikurim, is done by the Kohen, right? Miyadecha. So too over here, Aflahalan, Bikohen. Okay? And what else? So just like over there, Bialim, so to here, Bialim. Okay? No, HaKetzad. So how is it done? Amazing. You'll see there's a lot of problems. That statement is so problematic. Okay? But I'll show you why. But for now, what happens? The Kohen and the Baal do Tanufa together. And how do they do Tanufa together? How do the Kohen and Baal pick up the basket together? Okay, good. So Darius being the Kohen and Dov being the Yisrael. So the Kohen puts his hands underneath the Baal's hands. Okay? And that's how they do Tanufa. Why would that be a problem?
Because he's not lifting it. Really, the Yisrael is the one lifting it. He's just lifting the Yisrael's hands.
Okay, so one problem is that. Okay, very good. One problem is, well, who's doing the waving then? In other words, Mimadashach, is it they're both waving it, or is the Kohen waving the Baal's waving?
Who cares?
Oh, all right. Tosfos is going to raise a big question. Tosfos is going to say, you got a problem here. I'll tell you why. Because the Kohen has to do the tenufa on what? The basket. Not on hands. He's waving hands, not waving baskets. That's the more halachic way of putting your question. Okay? Amazing, right? Further than the Gemara. The Gemara is not quite done. I had you guys end a little earlier, but go a little further than the Gemara. But Lema Nami. But maybe you'll say what? Maybe you'll say that not that we don't learn like Rabbi Eliezer Yonatan, we learn like Rabbi Yehuda. Right? That Bikurim required to do because of Rabbi Yehuda. Why do we learn Rabbi Yehuda? Keep going. Vehinachto. Okay. So when it says in the Torah, it says Vehinachto, which means what? No.
It will be waved.
That's not what Vehinachto means. Puts down. Oh, puts down means waving. Okay. I don't know how, but somehow Vehinachto means to wave. Keep going. Ata Omer Zotnufa. So what's that? So you're saying this is Tanufa. What do you mean? Vehinachto means what? To put down. Doesn't mean Tanufa. So the Gemara says, Kishahu Omer. Amor.
That's the point.
Right? Zotufa. Which, guys, listen. You're going to miss this point. It's a very critical point. The problem is like this. The problem is, it says the word Hiniach twice. Okay? It says Vehinachto, and it also says Vehinicho. Okay? Vehinicho means he's putting it down. Vehinachto means Tanufa. Okay? So now we have something. Now we have. This is more of a methodological problem. It's not a problem like this. The problem is, but one second. Now we have two ways we can learn out that Bikurim required Tanufa. One way is Vilakach, Yadav by, what do you call it? By Bikurim, Yadav by Shlamim, Tanufa. Okay? Meaning, we see that Yadav by Shlamim means Tanufa. It means here by Bikurim Tanufa as well. Or this way. It says the word vihinachto twice, right? Mean or vihinicho, meaning the word lahaniach. it can't mean twice that the Kohen puts it down. So one of them must mean what? Tanufa. Ah, so let me ask you a question. So which one do we pick? Which way do we go? This is a very funny answer, the Gemara says. Akasa Tchila. Remember, the Gemara's question is, why do we learn Rev Elazar ben Yaakov's way of Yadav? Why not learn Rev Yehuda's way of V'hinicho V'hinachdo? I'll tell you why. U'pasach bo akasa Tchila. What does that mean? Okay, v'lakacha kohen etene miyadecha, and then what does it say? Oh, so which one? I kid you not. What comes first? Yadav. So because Yadav is first in the pasuk, who wins out? Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Or the other possibility, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak Amar.
It's like a toast.
That makes more sense. Rav Elazar ben Yaakov was a bigger Talmud Chacham. Right, Rav Gavrei, bigger Talmud Chacham. So, before we get to the mechanics of how Tanuf was done, first you have to understand is, what's this machlokas? One side wants to learn out from Yadav, right? That's one method. The other one says, no, we want to learn out from this duplicating the word or repeating the word, v'hiniach, right? And since it's repeated, right, so that we learn the second one must teach you Tanufa. What's the advantage of each way of learning? The Tanufa of Bikurim is very, very interesting. Okay, because what's happening there? It's very interesting what happens, okay? The Baal brings his basket of fruits, okay, to the Kohen, right? Now, if you're a literalist and you read the Torah, so what happens? So the Baal brings the basket to the Kohen, and what does the Kohen do? He takes the basket, right? Okay, in business terms, what do we refer to that as? A transaction, okay? A transaction, meaning what's a transaction? The owner gives, Kohen takes. But Chazal come in and say, but what's done in between? Right? So what does Tanufa seem to be doing here? Okay, so it seems like, right, it seems like, right, good. It seems like that rather than just have a simple taking of the basket from the Baal, for whatever reason why the Torah mandates that there has to be, that they expanded this transaction to be more than simply a, I'm giving this basket to you, but there's an actual Maisa transaction. The Tanufa is actually taking the transaction and giving us some sort of form to it. Like it's an actual action now, okay? We're going to have to investigate why, how that's the case. No, but I'll tell you what it's like. It's like, we don't just, like, it's like,